With more, we're joined by our Raptors reporter, Josh Lundberg. How are you, Josh?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We are excited that the NBA has given us news, given us dates, and you can see sort of the timeline of when training camps begin, when the travel to Orlando begins, and it sounds like the Raptors might be one of the first, if not the first team in Orlando for this process.
Yeah, that's something they've been working on for a while now. Just logistically, it makes more sense. Of course, we know there's travel restrictions in place. The NBA has assured the Raptors players that that's not going to be an issue, that if and when guys need to cross the border, that they'll be able to do that, that they'll have those exceptions, but they still have to follow quarantine restrictions and protocols. So right now you've got, let's say, roughly half the team scattered around the U.S. and then half the team here in Toronto. It would make more sense for the guys here in Toronto to travel to Orlando, meet the other guys in the U.S., and then everybody quarantines, or at least the guys that were in Toronto quarantines once. Then the guys that are in the U.S. travel back to Canada, quarantine here, train for a few days, and then go to the U.S. and quarantine again. So that's probably the way the Raptors are going to at least aim to do it, to be in Orlando at the end of June, early July, quarantine for a bit, and then start training camp there probably around the same time that all the rest of the teams are going to do so.
Jay Lou, how impressed is everyone involved, including fans, that all these dates are set up and it kind of is going to be a fast pace moving quickly? I've kind of bitched and complained that the NHL, we don't even know the hub cities. That's just not laid out yet. How impressed is everybody involved that this is just so to the point, it's right there, it's right in front of you, and they're ready to go?
I think they've done a pretty good job, the NBA has, at putting this together and putting this format together. I'll say this first. I'm impressed with the format just because it seemed so unlikely that they were going to be able to find a solution that appeased a lot of people, that was fair, that was as simple as possible. And those are two things from talking to players and coaches over the last few weeks. That's what everybody wanted, just something as fair as possible and as simple as possible. And both of those things just seem so much easier said than done, given the circumstances. I still don't think that they've appeased everybody here. We're hearing now from teams that were left out that wanted to be included to help develop players, young guys, or whatever. But I think the NBA did a pretty good job of checking off as many boxes as they can. I think this format is pretty solid. And, oh, I agree with you. I think it's great that we have some dates to at least pencil in. But I'm using pencil. I'm not using pen. I'm definitely not using a Sharpie right now because there are still so many question marks, still so much uncertainty. We're hearing a lot right now about the format, about the days, about how things are going to break down from a basketball standpoint once guys are in Orlando. What we're not hearing a lot about right now is the safety measures. And that's what we need to hear. That's what players need to hear, because that's what this was all about. That's why the league was put on hold on March 11th. And they always said, we're not coming back until it's safe enough. So, one, why is it safe enough? What's changed? And two, what are they going to do to mitigate risk? We've heard a few of those details, and I think a lot of those things are still being worked out over the coming weeks. So I talked to one coach recently who told me he's been on calls with the league, and Adam Silver has assured everybody that if at any point over the next couple months it's deemed unsafe, he's not afraid to pull the plug or change the timelines. But tentatively right now, they have a plan. They just need to make sure that all those things are in place so that this plan can be executed.
Josh, are you hearing anything behind the scenes as far as, you know, can you bring your family? How many family members are allowed to come? Like some of the semantics that go with it. You mentioned the security measures. Well, there has to be a different layer to keep the players happy and excited. And if they're going to be quarantined or in a bubble for potentially multiple months here, you know, is there another situation where you can bring family, you can bring friends, you can, you know, have a little bit of a social aspect or something as an escape from when you're not playing basketball?
Jamie, it's a good question, and it's been a hot topic of conversation, and that's why the NBA sort of changed the terminology from bubble, which is what everyone was calling it initially, to a campus-like environment. There is going to be some movement. It's not like everybody is just trapped. Specifically in regards to family, there's no guests permitted, no family permitted during the 8 regular season games or whatever they're calling them now. I think it's seeding games, but regular season games, exhibition, whatever, until the playoffs. Once the playoffs hit, and obviously there are fewer teams in the campus environment, then family will be permitted. I think the question then becomes, is it advisable to bring your family? And ultimately, it's going to be an individual decision for players to decide whether they're comfortable with that and whether their families are comfortable with that. So, for example, I spoke to Fred VanVleet a couple weeks ago. And this was before, obviously, all the details of the restart have come into focus over the last few days. But he told me that he wouldn't feel comfortable with his family there, that personally, he is at peace now with the virus. He understands the risks. He accepts the risks, and he can go to Orlando and feel comfortable, but he will feel significantly less comfortable if his family is there and at risk. So that's something that he talked to me about, that it's something that he would be reluctant to do is bring his family there. But he also talked about how hard that would be. And that's the other side of it that you also mentioned, Jamie, is that these guys are going to be there for a while. If you're one of the two teams that's fortunate enough to get to the finals, you're playing until maybe mid-October. That's 3 months potentially of, if you don't bring your family, being right away from your loved ones. So that's something that guys have to consider and that they have to weigh. It's just another set of tough decisions that players are going to have to make here.
Freddie's going to have to be on his own for dinner tonight making that comment. I'm good. I'm just going to go on my own. I feel bad.
Speaking from experience there or what?
No.
He is TSN's Raptors reporter, Josh. You know, it was weeks ago that they were allowed to have individual practices, and the OVO Center has been open. I know most of the team isn't in the city of Toronto, but just give us the information that you do have about the Raptors and what they've been doing over the last couple of weeks to get ready to get back into what would be a kind of a sped up training camp. And then suddenly you're playing games that do matter.
They've got a long ways to go in that regard because, I mean, they've come a ways over the last few months, considering that a month ago, no one had even stepped inside a gym, that they were working out at home, running on the stationary bike or biking on the stationary bike and running on the spot or running outside, lifting weights, all of that, shooting in some cases on a portable hoop outside. Now these guys are able to get into the gym, but there's been, I mean, the Raptors have been as cautious as any team in the NBA in terms of those individual workouts. It's just one guy allowed in the building, one player allowed in the building at a time, in addition to a coach, whereas a lot of teams are allowing 4 players in there at a time. So the Raptors haven't done much. Certainly they're not doing anything right now in terms of team practices. So while players might be in shape, and obviously a lot of guys have been trying to do the best that they can to stay physically in shape, being in shape and being in game shape are completely different things, and that's why I think it's going to be tough, not just for the Raptors, for every team, every player, but the Raptors specifically. I mean, their case is interesting because they're one of the older teams in the NBA. They're the 9th oldest team in the NBA. They've got these veteran guys, and it probably will take players like Lowry and Gasol a little bit more time to get back into shape and to shake off that rest. I think there's pros and cons there. Obviously, it's going to take them some time to get back into shape, but they're also, with age comes wisdom, right? They're smarter than a lot of guys in the NBA. They have high basketball IQs. So I do think the Raptors are in an advantageous position in that regard, that maybe they won't have to rely on some of those things that other teams are going to be working so hard to get back, that athleticism or the jump shot, because of how smart they are on the defensive end.
Josh, all people have been doing with no sports is kind of handicapping everyone's chances, their own clubs, the team they cover. Where do you think the Raps lie in this age, where they're at, their talent? Where do you think they fall into place as far as having an advantage, how they will look going into this?
I mean, the circumstances are not ideal. We know that. If it was up to the Raptors, like if it was up to any of the other teams, or if it was up to any of us, the pandemic wouldn't have happened. The hiatus wouldn't have happened. They would have just kept on playing. And the Raptors obviously were playing so well. So there is some concern that maybe their momentum here has been has been shifted or has been paused for too long. But I think if we're looking at this, understanding obviously that the hiatus has happened, that can't be changed. We can't go back into the future or change what's happened here. Of the 22 teams that are coming back, I think the Raptors are in as good a spot as anybody. I mentioned that they're an older team, and yeah, maybe it takes them some time. I mean, Lowry's a good example. I think at the beginning of every year, we normally see it takes him a month or two to really get his game going, to get his shot going. But as I said, I think as teams shake off the rust, offense is going to struggle, and the Raptors' strength is on the defensive end. And those things, I mean, they're great defensively because of how smart they are. And while it might take you some time to get your legs or get your shot or whatever, your mind is still going to be working at a high level, theoretically. So I think the Raptors are in good shape in that regard. And another thing I'll say, and this is why I think this is a big advantage for them, the time off, is they were one of the most banged up teams in the NBA. All year they were dealing with injuries. They had a full roster available twice all year, and not since October, which seems like, what, like 3 years ago now? Yeah. So you've had all this time to heal, to rest, to presumably come back and be fresh and ready to go. Gasol with the hamstring, Lowry, Van Vliet, Powell with all the things they were dealing with. So I think that that's a big benefit for the Raptors as well.
You know, it's funny, you brought up October, and I was thinking about that ring ceremony today, because the one date that really stuck out as a surprise to me today was December 1st. And I know they said that's a fluid date, but for next season to begin December 1st and in Game 7 of the NBA Finals to be on October 12th means that's not a lot of time for the champion to make their ring, you know? Like, they might have to speed that thing up, and we saw how impressive the one that Drake got this year. But was there, did that catch you off guard a little bit that they would start next season in almost a perfect situation so early?
Yeah, that's a good point. Next year's ring probably won't be the size of a small iceberg. No. Like the one that Kyle Lowry designed for the Raptors a few months ago. Yeah, I mean, it's tight. The offseason is going to be really, really short, which we sort of expected, although I think a lot of people were anticipating a start for next season that was a little bit closer to Christmas, the end of December, maybe even the beginning of January. Whereas here, yeah, I mean, if you're one of those two teams that's going to the end of this season, you're playing until October, maybe October 12th, if it goes to a Game 7, that would be the date of the Game 7, according to reports. Then a few days later, you're drafting, and the Raptors are going to have a first-round pick for the first time since 2017. Then a few days after that, you've got free agency, and the Raptors have three big-name free agents in Fred VanVleet, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, all of them unrestricted. And then less than a month after that, you're starting training camp, and then the season is starting up. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It's certainly not something that guys are used to. There is some concern. I think there's always some concern when you don't have long periods of rest that maybe injuries pop up, or for guys that are already hurt, for Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, how is it going to impact those guys that are recovering from injury? I think that that's a topic or something to keep an eye on. But the good news, obviously, for basketball fans is we're going to have, if everything goes according to plan, a lot of basketball here over the next few months.
Well, I hope that you're okay with actually reporting on basketball for the first time in what feels like months and months and months. Josh, always great to have you on the show, especially on a day where we get some good news from the NBA.
All right, guys, take care.
There's Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter here on Overdrive, as the NBA has a plan to come back on July 31st with 22 teams. The Raptors, just like every team, would play 8 regular season games. They might have a play-in series to determine the 8th seed. And then the Raptors will obviously be in the playoffs, and they'll play in their conference. We just don't know that seed. So we can speculate what their opponent would be. And as Jeff pointed out, lots of dates and a lot to chew on right now from basketball.
It is. But it's exciting. You can plan your whole, you know, I guess, viewing pleasure around that and figure out exactly.
It just gets everything amped up, excitement. Just,
yeah, it's like filling out your sports calendar in
exactly.
a way.
Exactly. It's just good stuff. I don't know how else to put it.
It's funny, like the whole boys of summer, and baseball is the one sport that just, I think eventually they'll get their act together and they'll play. But it's like the NHL, for the most part, has this plan ready. They're going to play in the summer. The NBA, golf's getting ready. It's like the one sport that's supposed to dominate the summer is just spinning their wheels right now over money. It's
Well, I mean, they've got a full season. That's the one thing that, you know, when I've been critical of them, people have reminded me, like, they're trying to sort out a full season, whereas, you know, these others,
they got their paychecks already.
Guys have gotten paid, and they're being asked to go, hey, you know, go live in a bubble for 2 months.
Right.
Whereas baseball's going, hey, we got a long stretch ahead of us here. Yeah.